And our special guest tonight, Patrick Cook, and we'll be back with him as we talk about the UFO connection with the Bible on Coast to Coast AM. Patrick, tell us how you, as an independent theologian and paranormal researcher, got involved with the Bible and UFO connection.
Well, as I said, it was absolutely fascinating. When I first, I've worked in construction all my life, George, in one form or another, either theatrical construction or general construction. And like I say, my interest in the Great Pyramid led me to study what was really going on in our skies in ancient times. And what was fascinating was that I found that this it's amazing the number of gods in the world that flew. And all of this, as a theologian, you think, well, that's, you see, I'm an autonomous theologian. I am not burdened by the weight of dogmatic belief that I have to prove that one religion is right versus another religion. What I can do is I can look at the similarities between them. I'm not looking for the differences. I'm looking for the similarities. And there's so many similarities that we have come to the conclusion that what we are seeing in this world is not a number of different gods created in the minds of a number of different people eating different kinds of mushrooms or what have you. What it basically is that we see that the same gods are being described by many different cultures with many different traditions, different languages, different eating habits, different clothes, they're wearing different clothes, living in different environments. Everything about the cultures are different, but the gods are all the same. They all teach people that they need to love one another. They all say that they created these beings to become higher beings, and so that's what fascinated me, and most especially the fact that they flew, and all of these gods flew around, and it's absolutely fascinating. So The Bible UFO connection is really only a small part of the whole. You know, if you take out the Christian population who believe in the Bible, you still got 2/3 of the world's population left. And if I went, George, if I went into India or if I went into China and I stood in the middle of the street and I started telling people the gods fly in strange, colorful craft that look a lot like those in our skies, they'd look at me and say, what's new?
Yeah, they've known this forever, haven't
they? They've known this forever. We live in a bubble here in the United States. And in the Western world, where the rest of the world knows, you know, Jaime Musan is completely unknown in this world, but he's popular throughout Latin America.
Sure is. He's almost like a god.
Yes, yes. He's got his show is like 60 Minutes in Mexico.
Yeah.
So what we have is we live in a vacuum here, insofar as what's going on in the rest of the world, and of course. The last thing that the religion that controls our society, the corporation that have their control, the military, the government, the last thing they want us to do is to be distracted by something that's important to us. What they want us to do is they want to keep us well branded and keep us as good customers and good workers and suffering at all costs, you know, whatever it is, just waiting on in quiet desperation seems to be what's going on, especially like what we see happening right now. I just wish that BP and the government would get out of the way and let the people take care of this problem. I think we could do a lot better job than they're doing themselves.
Yeah, they're not doing anything.
Right.
You know, a little skimming, that's about it.
Yeah, and they're not even doing that. The Jones Act, you're familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that it's basically the 1920 Maritime Merchant Marine Act. And they're using that to prevent us from doing anything within 3 miles of the coast where the most cleanup is needed.
Yeah.
Okaloosa Island is taking things into their own hand. People are getting really upset with this. And, of course, the way BP seems to be, don't you get the idea that BP has is exercising a great deal of control over our government?
Huge.
It's absolutely amazing.
And in spite of what we see before these congressional hearings.
Right. Right. Well, this is what scares me, George, and this is what I've been watching all these years, is this incredible ability of corporations. Now, we have to realize that the Supreme Court just recently reaffirmed what is called corporate personhood, where a corporation has the right to lobby our senators and our congressmen just like we do, except for the fact that they've got billions and we've got hundreds of dollars. They've got billions of dollars they can control. And it's like, I forget what it is, it's like 35,000 lobbyists for each one of our senators and representatives in Washington. It's come to the point where we have the best government money can buy. We need to, and that lobby system that we have, we're basically a corporation, and after this recent Supreme Court ruling, George, we could very easily see the Speaker of the House being a representative from Exxon, or BP for that matter.
That's true.
What's really scary. So, and this is what I have been pointing to. People like to think that there's a deception. Either it's evil aliens that are deceiving mankind, and they want to eat our babies and eat our brains and steal our women, or it's a satanic holographic type thing that's doing this, or it's some other strange, you know, I mean, it's Satan sitting in a cave somewhere with a goat head over his and sacrificing animals. That's not where it is. The greatest deception is going on in the boardrooms of our corporations. They're the ones. Where have all of our problems come from? If you look at you just take from the 1980s onward, and you look at the oil spills, the millions of gallons every year these things have happened, George. In 1962, Rachel Carson, the Silent Spring, when she wrote that, she was a marine biologist trying to tell us exactly what was going on, and we have not listened. But now it's coming to the point, and if you look at what BP is doing, that is such a classic example of the callousness and the coldness and these corporations. I mean, if you look at the Obama administration, when you've got BP lobbyists in the EPA that are controlling this situation, we got a serious problem.
It happens at the FDA level. It's all over the place.
It happens everywhere, in every aspect. Big pharma, big oil, big ag, big all of them, every one of them is controlling our lives. And we see, when we see these problems, we see our health is deteriorating because of the quality of the food. We don't eat soil. We don't eat from the soil anymore, George. We eat oil. Every aspect of our food crops, from the pesticides that are used to the herbicides that are used to the fuel that goes into the farm equipment that harvests this to the distribution points, are all involved in oil. Our energy is all oil. 50% is natural gas. 50% is coal, and a very small amount is alternative energy, which is exactly where we should be moving. And by the way, we need to realize how deceptive this whole concept is about offshore drilling. You are aware that there are 27,000 abandoned wells out there?
That some may be leaking.
Yeah, and some may be leaking and have not been inspected for decades. But here's the point. If we force the oil companies, not just BP, but Exxon and Shell and all of the rest of them, if we force those companies that have leases in the continental United States, not offshore, but in the continental United States, there was a Senate subcommittee on this. They proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that we could increase our oil supply in this country by 35%, which would virtually eliminate any need for offshore drilling or any need for foreign oil. And we could increase our gas supply, our natural gas supply, which provides half of our energy in this country, increase that by 75%. That's how much we've got right here in this country. But there's a big problem with what we've got here in this country. It's called domestic oil. It's called domestic product. And it's cheaper because of the regulations that have been set. Domestic oil is cheaper than foreign oil. So the oil companies can make more money by bringing it in from the outside rather than exploiting what we've got here.
Our Alaskan pipeline oil goes to Japan.
Exactly. Every bit of it. Why? Because the oil companies successfully got it declared as too high in sulfur content for our own refineries here in this country. Even after we spent, now remember, that thing, my brother worked on that pipeline came in had $11 billion. The original estimate was $700 million. We paid $11 billion for that pipeline and have never seen a drop of it here in the United States.
So true. So true. Now, in your research, did you find at all that some people have confused UFO visitations with angels or vice versa?
Well, actually, I believe that's exactly the way that it is. What we see now, what I like to do, there are two races of beings described in the Bible, and it's pretty much the same way in all the rest of the religions. The gods are called the Elohim, and it's a plural word, the Hebrew word Elohim, the I-Y-M on the end makes it a plural word, so it's definitely talking about the gods, and this is the God of the Old Testament, specifically one of the gods of the Old Testament, and the gods who got together. And if in the beginning the gods created the heavens and the earth, that word should properly comes from the word Elohim, and it's used every time, almost every time where the word God is used in the Old Testament, that word should properly be God. So it was in the beginning the gods created the heavens and the earth. The national God, Jehovah, or the Lord God, was one of the Elohim. The Lord God means Jehovah the Elohim. And they were served by a race of beings which appear to be very different than these beings, called the Malak, M-A-L-A-K, in the Old Testament. And these angels bring messages from the gods. They seem to do the work of the gods. They're actually evil aliens that God speaks of. Evil aliens sent by the gods. So you've got this separation. Now, what I believe it is, if you say in layman's term, or we can put it into a concept where we can see the way it is, according to the Bible and the other religions around the world, take the Star Wars concept where you had the Force. The Force, I believe, is these gods. And the Federation, remember the Federation was a group of aliens that came together and they served the Force.
That's right.
Against an evil, the dark side, Darth Vader and company. That's the way I honestly believe the Bible lays it out, that there is a federation. So technically these angels, and by the way, there's never anything specific about what size these beings are, what they actually look like. They're called golden beings. They always scare people when they appear to them, so they're not these beautiful, long-haired. There's no description of them having wings and halos.
With nice wings, yeah.
Yeah, wings and halos and harps. That's not in there. But those beings appear to be different. There appear to be different types. Golden beings. There's the beings that were at the resurrection of Jesus in his tomb were short, which is very interesting. So nothing precludes the angels actually being what we see described by contactees, which are the grays, the browns, the blues, the reptoids, the mantis-like figures. Nothing in the Bible precludes that. So basically what I believe is that the aliens are the angels, and it's basically a conglomeration, a galactic conglomeration, and those beings perhaps do have home worlds and can be called aliens, if you want to think about anybody who's serving this planet as being an alien, as opposed to the gods themselves. So, yes, I do believe that that these angels could, and I think there's a very strong possibility, and every religion has them. So I do believe that the aliens and angels are synonymous.
Yet none of this belief negates the possibility of a god, does it?
No, not at all. You see, God made man in his own image, and man returned the favor, George.
Yep.
Man created God in his own image. We have this omnipotent God, which, you can't see him. You can't he's as ethereal as you can imagine, yet he's described as having eyes, ears, a nose, a mouth, a head, a body, legs, arms, and everything like that. He's described in a physical sense, yet the church will tell you that he has no form. He says he created man in his image. Well, look at us. If he created us to look like him, then he looks like us, or they look like us. And the whole concept, the whole concept that God is some kind of an ethereal being, We just don't look at God as a reality, and God is very physical, described as very physical in all of the ancient writings, not just the Bible. That he's a very strong physical being. John saw him in the Revelation, described him as having white hair, red skin, and yellow eyes, and a voice like many waters. Moses saw him, described him from the back, that he was actually a physical being. So what I believe is that remember Arthur C. Clarke told us something that's very valuable that we need to remember. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
That's
now,
true.
I'm not saying that these beings, these gods, are alien.
But that's
in nature.
But that's the perception.
Yeah, but I believe that what they are is highly advanced beings. We've discussed this in the past. How they, Michio Kaku said it very well. He said that what we do is we look at these beings as being, and I'm just paraphrasing what he said, as being hundreds or thousands of years more advanced than we are.
Of course.
Therein lies our problem. These beings, and when you consider the age of the universe and how far advanced they probably are, these beings are millions, if not billions, of years more advanced.
If they've learned how to survive,
right.
they are way beyond where we are.
Yes, way beyond. And that's why the technology that they exhibit is so incredible. I mean, how can they go 6,000 miles and make a right-hand turn without even flinching? And all of the amazing things, these miracles that were described in the Bible, the parting of the sea, the incredible things that happened. How many of these things that were going on? Now, I believe that the beings have special powers themselves. But we see those special powers in human beings themselves. And one series of our documentaries called Human Phenomenon. And that is the amazing ability of human beings to light fires, to levitate, to see things remotely, to move things with their mind. And human beings have this incredible these incredible abilities, and yet they're ignored by the general public or they're institutionalized, or these abilities are suppressed with drugs, which is what I believe the main treatment is. Anybody who's special in this world needs to be drugged so that we have this obsession with conformity. Everybody has to be exactly the same. We have to all be cookie cutter versions of one another. And we can see this in the branding that goes on in corporations and things like that.
Patrick, do you think the Greek gods were extraterrestrial?
And there's
well?
A good possibility. We don't know. They do have the same. They do show the same aspects of the rest of the gods around the world. How do we know whether any god is real or not? There's a very strong possibility when you see these things that the Roman gods, the Greek gods, there were fathers, there were children, there were all kinds of beings. What I think, George, and this is a very strong thing, like I say, what I believe is that if we take all these religions and we combine all the unusual aspects of each one of the unique aspects of each one of these religions and put them into a big pot and stir it up, I think we may be closer to the truth than we can imagine, that perhaps each one of these religions has certain pieces of the puzzle. And they all need to be put together. And that's what a comparative theologian like myself does. We put those aspects together and come up with some fascinating things. It's like, when you talk about demons, where do demons come from? Giants, absolutely fascinating study. The world of cryptozoology is absolutely fascinating. All of these ancient religions speak about these things, these strange creatures from past ages. And, of course, we know that the world, the problem is that the world is just so sterile. And we have anthropology and geology and historians that just keep repeating the same dull, drab factoids, and we never really get down to the real truth about what's going on.
Patrick, when we come back, I've got to ask you about ghosts in the Bible. I've always, always wanted to know about that. We'll be back. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Patrick Cook. Have you picked up the After Dark newsletter yet? The magazine, full color, it's available to you at coasttocoastam.com or by calling 1-888-261-6392. That's 1-888-261-6392. And if you'd like to be a StreamLink member, that's just pennies a day. You can also sign up for that by going to coasttocoastam.com as well. Patrick, what can you tell us about ghosts in the Bible? What's there?
Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, "Shall mortal man be more than just God? Shall man be more pure than his maker?" That is not from an Edgar Allan Poe novel or a Shakespearean play. That is from Job, the fourth chapter, verses 14 through 17.
It's there.
Something is there. There is no evil associated with this apparition, and it actually seems to be parting wisdom to Job. Now, if I might, I would like to read simply the first chapter in one of the most popular articles I've ever written called The Bible and the Paranormal, A New Perspective. Okay. Witches, wizards, sorcery, evil and unclean spirits, devils, ghosts, demonic possession and exorcisms, conjuring up and raising the dead, divination, trances, astrology, oracles, enchantments, supernatural healing, superhuman strength, giants, dragons, and unicorns are but a few of the many instances of paranormal phenomena found in the Bible. Some of the lesser known anomalies in Scripture are levitation, astral projection, clairvoyance, psychokinesis, telepathy, metamorphosis, glossalia, behemoth satyrs, cockatrices, flying fiery serpents, and a gigantic and terrifying fire-breathing, smoke-snorting, stone-hearted, indestructible amphibious sea monster. And that's just the Bible, George. There are depictions of the paranormal in almost every one of the ancient religions.
I guess it's there, Patrick, if you look for it, isn't it?
Yes, it's there. I say that the Bible is the ultimate guide to UFOs and their occupants, but it is also a compendium of the paranormal.
The work that you've done as it relates to end times prophecy.
Yes.
Give me your odds in terms of time. You believe we're in it now, but how long?
Wow, that's a tough one, George. Quite literally, it could happen before the show ends.
Let's hope not.
Well, if it's good, George, if I am correct, if the Calvary is coming, and if we are going to move into a brighter age where we treat one another better and we care and we share, that's not a bad thing, George. That's a good thing, if I'm correct about this. If everybody else is correct, I'd just as soon not be here to watch it.
Sure.
But what I firmly believe that that's what the ancient prophecies tell us. And I say that, you know, of course, think about it, George, every generation, and you and I have seen it. We've seen a couple of generations ourselves. They all think that that is the time. And as a matter of fact, the apostles themselves actually believe that the end of the age was going to happen in their time, and that was over 2,000 years ago. So it's really hard to say, but I'd say we're very close. We can't push the planet any farther than we have. You know, when they're talking, they just announced from the Copenhagen conference that they were talking about a possible 4-degree Celsius increase in temperature. That's like 10 degrees. We can't survive that.
No, there's no way.
Yeah, and then we see what happened with the International Planetary or Climate Commission that basically generated the most interest, especially with the melting of the glaciers and things like that, and the opening of the Northwest Passage. when you look at their predictions have sense. And that's a very, you know, there's 1,200 scientists, but it was, they always take the conservative end. They put this out about once every 4 or 5 years, and every, you know, it's a very conservative thing. And they're, now they're beginning to realize that the prophecies that they predictions, I shouldn't say prophecies, the educated guesses that these scientists were making are actually coming to force faster than they thought. So I would say, George, I would be absolutely amazed if we actually do see 2020. I would be, really? I would be amazed at that. We're pushing it. How long? I mean, George, we're talking about this oil spill. Somebody did a projection: 274 days that oil is going to be washing ashore in San Francisco. By the way, on the newscast that just preceded us, they took another earthquake up in Alaska. When is the big one going to happen? When is the New Madrid? Are you familiar with
it? Oh, yeah, Madrid? That's near St. Louis where I go.
Yes, yes. So. I mean, come on. That could have been the earthquake up in Ottawa could have been one end of that, and that thing was so strong that it turned the Mississippi River flowed backwards.
Well, and we don't know what this oil leak is doing to the possibility of earthquakes in that region.
Absolutely. About the kind, I'm sure you've had people on the show, I haven't heard them, but are talking about the perhaps this thing could collapse and cause a tsunami.
Yep. Richard Hoagland was talking about
it. Yes, and that, I mean, all of these are very strong possible. What if that happened? I mean, come on, let's think about it, George. We have lost the Gulf of Mexico for tourism, for economic, for seafood.
And if it stops today, how long will it take to get back to normal? Years.
It's not going to get back to normal in our time, George. It's going to take decades. If they use bioremediation, but come on, you know, we're losing entire species, and we've been losing them too fast.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, extinction is forever.
You do not believe this was done on purpose. Some do. I do.
I don't know whether it was done on purpose. It is so comical in its nature.
In a
sad
way.
Come on, how can 12 redundancies all fail at the same time?
Well, it's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of strange. I don't believe that that they actually caused it, but I think they're exploiting it, and I don't think they want to stop that well. I don't think they want to cap it because it's the largest oil reserve they've ever found.
And the chairman, of course, of BP sold a lot of stock before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty smart investor.
Insider training. A lot of that going on.
Lots.
But, you know, these BP officials, what are we doing? I mean, how have we come to the point, George, where we see global corporations destroying our environment just as BP is doing from their, you know, what are they doing digging wells a mile deep and 3 miles into the crust of the earth? And they don't even know how big it is. They, you know, they're just speculating on how this could flow. And they have lied to us about how much is coming out. We can't, and now they're controlling the media. We can't even get pictures of where this oil is going. So this could be it, George. This what happens? Remember this? You know, the chairman of BP said, well, it's only a small part of the ocean, but it's going to get bigger. You've seen these projections with it coming right up the coast, right off the. We can see it in Long Island Sound down here, and then spreading out into the Atlantic. And like I say, going through the Northwest Passage, coming back and possibly washing ashore in the San Francisco Bay. This could be it. We don't know.
And all of this is echoed in prophecy, as you pointed out.
Yes, and there are so many other things that are echoed in prophecy as well, especially the greed. You know, you had Ms. Albright last night on the show. And she was talking about the incredible thing where it says that the beast created an image, and that image caused all, both free and bond, rich and poor, every man in the world to receive a mark in their forehead or in their right hand. Now, she pointed out rightly, and the pulpit should be pointing out rightly, that is the purpose of that mark is very clearly defined. Everybody thinks that it's a sign of loyalty to a beast. Well, no.
No way.
It says, without it, you could not buy or sell. Now, it's easy enough to call it the mark of the beast, but if that's the beast, who is the beast? Well, obviously,
corporations.
Is corporations.
Yeah.
Big, who could do that but the big banking cartels? Who could put a system like that together? And, of course, we see Verichip, or I don't even know what they call it now.
I think they changed their name, didn't they?
Yeah, they change it every time, and they're definitely going to use it for identification and security purposes. And that's why it says they caused it. Nobody's forced to take this, but if you can't buy or sell, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You'll have to have it if they turn this into a cashless society, and we're almost a cashless society as it is, George. We have, I think it's maybe 25% of our transactions are carried
Absolutely.
On with checks or cash.
Verichip, by the way, is a sub now of Applied Digital Solutions.
Yes, they always have been Applied Digital Solutions, but they've got another. They was Digital Angel. that was a bad move on their part. But what most people don't realize is they have actually sold enough of these chips to the United States government to equip every military, the entire military with these things. So this is definitely something that's coming, and it's GPS capable. It could very easily be used for financial transactions. And then we have that in place. Well,
I got to tell you, though, Patrick, I find it fascinating to watch unfold.
Yes.
Because if we know about it, I think we can still fight it.
It would be nice. I would love that more than anything, George. I would rather the United States, the world come to its senses and realize that we are being controlled by global corporations and we need to stop that. This government that we set up was a beautiful form of government. It was set up to be of, by, and for the people, and now it is of, by, and for the special interest. Nobody needs to be talking to our congressmen but us. That was in 1776 when we established that Congress, and it was because of the fact that they couldn't talk to their constituents. The constituents couldn't have a single voice. So they elected representatives from amongst them and told those representatives to go to Washington or wherever, Philadelphia or wherever they were going at the time, and to represent the views of the people. The fact is that the founders laid forth a principle where the people's will must have the upper hand. And we need to take that government back away from the corporations. We need to eliminate the lobby system in this country, and we need to eliminate what is going on here. The president should not have the power he has. The Fed should never have the power that it has. The Fed took the ability of our Congress away from the Congress to make money, and now makes money and loans it to us and makes money for themselves by creating money out of nothing.
This kind of reminds me of the biblical days of the money changers, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Well, that's exactly what a lot of people don't realize why Jesus overturned those tables. Well, what was happening was that the temple only accepted shekels, only accepted a particular currency for shekels, and people were coming in from all over the world to visit the temple and to leave offerings, and they needed to exchange the money that they had for shekels, and that the people were charging exorbitant prices to do that.
Yeah,
a big ripoff, and that's what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking; he was talking about them ripping off the public, and that's exactly what they're doing now. I don't think that that every corporation is an evil corporation. Every church that we know of is a corporation. A nonprofit corporation. The corporation started with the Catholic Church. Every diocese or bishopric is a corporation. And corporations used to do good things. When they were under charter, they used to do good things. But now they're rampant. They're running out of control. And because of a simple situation that was done in 1865, the Santa Clara decision was called, anybody want to look it up, it's the Santa Clara Blues. And they can find out how corporations suddenly came to power and are beginning and are now in control of virtually every aspect of our lives. And that's what it is, not Satan in a cave somewhere destroying the environment and destroying our social and wrecking our social fabric. It's coming from the boardrooms. Those are the ones that are doing it. They're controlling, big in I just left California. The only growth business in California is the prison industry. Come on.
Yeah. And it's big.
Yes.
And it's big. I've got to ask you, you mentioned it a little bit, your take on the Antichrist. Who is this person?
Well, the Antichrist, the word Antichrist does not appear in the book of Revelations. It is simply not there, nor is any character that reflects the concept.
There is no character pointed out there, is
there? There is no character like an Antichrist pointed out. The only control that we see throughout the entirety of the Revelation is the mark of the beast that we just discussed, and that was to control financial transactions. There was an Antichrist. See, this comes from what we call dual prophecy, George, where they take things out of context to satisfy that somebody decided there should be an Antichrist. It's a nice fictional thing, but there's no Antichrist talked about in the Revelation. There's no world government talked about in the Revelation. There is no world religion talked about in the Revelation. The temple is not being rebuilt in the Revelation. This, all these things that you hear in the Left Behind series and these other doom and gloom apocalyptic prophecies simply do not exist. Now, the Antichrist is spoken of in the epistles, the letters that Paul wrote, and he's actually named. His name is Simon Magus, and there's a whole story about who he was, and he was defeated, and eventually, but there's no there that is not a, that it is not a prophecy about the future. They're talking about a man that was alive and well in the day of the apostles, and that's the only time an Antichrist is mentioned.
Along with Nostradamus's work, I guess, huh?
Well, Nostradamus, it depends on how you accept his quatrains. He seems to be pretty accurate on a number of things,
sure.
But then again, it's up to interpretation. But there's a lot of, I'm very interested in a number of concepts. And of course, I watch and see what's going on. I watch the most powerful entity, financial entity in the world, which is the Catholic Church. I watch it not because of its religious influence, but because of its financial influence.
It's huge.
Yes, it's absolutely huge. And a lot of people don't realize it is the strongest financial entity in the United States. And number two is the Mormon Church, which is interesting. The churches seem to be controlling it. Now, the Mormon Church does do some very good things. They've got some very, very, very good and very effective social programs. But there's a lot of things I would love. My wish, if this what I call the family, this group of beings that are flying around in these flying saucers do come here, the first thing I want a front row seat when they open up the Vatican archives. I want to see what's in there, because they've been collecting these things for millennia. So you can imagine, it's the Catholic Church was established in 325 A.D., and they've been collecting some neat stuff all this time. I want to see what they've got.
Absolutely. The way we're looking at everything nowadays, it seems like the world is just quickly, Patrick, moving along way too fast.
Okay.
Way too fast. Can it be slowed down, any of this?
I think it will slow down, but I don't think it's going to slow down until it's passed beyond the point of no return. We may be there now. What happens, George? We've already lost the Gulf of Mexico. We've lost the Gulf of Mexico. That means that all a part of Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, and now they're seeing tar balls in Texas. That means all of those Gulf states, all of the businesses that they had is gone. It's gone. It won't return for decades. What are we going to do with what? 50 million people? How many millions of people are dependent on the Gulf Coast for their income? And what's going to happen with those people?
That's
we can't absorb that into our society.
And BP is not going to continue paying them.
Oh, no. They're going to declare, before you know it, they're going to declare bankruptcy.
And wipe all that debt out.
Right. And they're up in the Arctic. They're fixing to drill in the Arctic, George. What happens if they screw up there? They can't take care of what they got here.
And they might. Patrick, we're going to come back for a final hour with you, and we're going to take phone calls of all the many things we've been talking about tonight. So you're next with Patrick Cook on Coast to Coast AM.